للذين لا يريدون علوا في الأرض ولا فسادا والعاقبة للمتقين. صدق الله العظيم. There are three basic type of gunas which we have to try and save ourselves from, and they in turn are the cause of almost all the other sins and gunas that a person commits. The one the ulama have written, Sufiya have written, is hubbi dunya, love of this dunya. And together with that can be coupled hubbi mal, the love of wealth. Because of this dunya, a person wants wealth also. So that is one thing, one basic thing. And because of that then, theft, robbery, crime, murder, many other sins come because of the love of dunya and the love of wealth. The other is hubbi jah, name, position, fame. That what I say must go. Authority is mine. That jah, that position of a person. This also is in turn the cause of backbiting, the cause of jealousy, the cause of zulm, lot of other sins because of this love of my position. And the third one is bahi, hubbe bah. That is lust, desire, sexual passions. Because of that also, a lot of sins are committed. What type of sins are not committed? So basically, it is these three things that we have to work on. So the first one we'll try and discuss today, and that is love of this dunya and love of wealth. For that, Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala says, I'll base my talk on this ayat, just a little above on this ayat, a few ayats ahead, with regard to Qarun, etc., Allah Ta'ala says, من كان يريد الحياة الدنيا. Those people who had the love of this dunya, who desired this world, what did they say? يَا لَيْتَ لَنَا مِثْلَ مَا أُوتِيَ قَارُونَ. If only we also had been given that which Qarun was given. Qarun was a dunya man. So they also desired that. And the saying is very true, history repeats itself. And it, whatever had happened in the past is again playing out today also. Today also the people who have the love for this dunya, they also say, if we also had what the people of the West had, the technology what they got, and the things that they have got, and today how many good Muslims are endeavoring for themselves, for their families, for the community, we must also follow in their footpath. They have gone ahead in technology, in science, we must also go in that way. And we find in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when Huzur sallallahu alayhi wasallam came, that time also Roman Empire, Persian Empire, they were the superpowers, and they also were very much advanced in dunya's things. The Arabs were regarded so low that the Persians used to tell them, Antum abidu abidina. You are the slaves of our slaves. You are not even such, you are not even fit that we must rule over you. We will appoint rulers who will rule over you, collect your taxes and bring them to us. You are not even such that we can even rule over you. So low they used to regard them. And these were the very advanced nations. When Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, there isn't hardly on record anywhere that Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent them to the universities of the Roman Empire, of the Persian Empire, go and study there, acquire those sciences, acquire their technology. They are so advanced. If we want to advance, we must also get that knowledge. We don't get that anywhere. The Quran Sharif says that those who wanted dunya, they wanted to follow Qarun. And those people who wanted akhirat, they وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ. And these are the people of ilm. Not just words, but those people who have got that knowledge and know that akhirat is so much more superior. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ وَيْلَكُمْ ثَوَابُ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ لِّمَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ الصَّالِحَةِ وَلَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الصَّابِرُونَ. And that akhirat, only those people will go towards that and will get that who will make sabr. Everyone will tell you, you're not learning, you're not educating your children. And by educating, what they mean? Giving them Western, we can't even call it knowledge. The Western way, giving them the Western way, which is a way of filth and dirt. They say that, why are you not teaching your children? Why are you not sending them to school, etc.? So you'll have to make lot of sabr. إِلَّا الصَّابِرُونَ. Only those people who will be able to make sabr. And also from history we see always the people of dunya, almost always, they were ghalib, they were always on top. The people of deen and righteousness, there are occasions when they also came on top, but less. More always were the people of evil who were on top and who had the say and control, so to say, the world. So how lot of sabr those people have to make, that when you know what is right, akhirat, deen is right, but the whole world, the river is flowing, what a force in one direction. And you like one little twig, you want to stand against that whole force. How strong you'll have to be. That sabr you'll have to make like that. Then Allah tabaraka ta'ala says, after drawing that whole scene, tilka darul akhirah. What is the real life? That life of the akhirah. Not far in the next supara, Allah says, وَمَا هَذِي الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. This worldly life, وَمَا هَذِي الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهُ وَلَعِبْ. It is only play and time pass. Allah is saying categorically, whose words can be, who can you find more higher than Allah Ta'ala? And Allah has declared it very, very openly and categorically in the Quran Sharif, that this dunya is only game, to play and time pass. That is all. وَمَا هَذِي الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهُ وَلَعِبٌ وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. And the life of the akhirah, that is the eternal, everlasting, that is the true life. So our whole focus should be on the akhirah. No matter how people pressurize us, family, society, the whole world. Today, everywhere in the world, education is being made compulsory. They say education. And it is said outwardly, it's a very good thing, education is being made compulsory. But what education? You can't even call that education. Just to give you a brief idea of what that education is, in 1956 in China, the crops came very, very poor. They had very poor crops. So they put in investigation, research, why are our crops so poor? What all the scientists, etc., after all the studies, what they found? That there is a certain, there is a bird that is eating the crop. And those birds are plentiful in that place. And they are eating the crops. So to get rid of them, in those days what they did, they say whoever kills a bird, and they made little depots, like bus stands, depots. Anyone who brings in a bird and turns it in, a dead bird, just for us to understand, you will get 10 cents for that bird. So children, everyone went, it was fun for them killing birds and making money. Soon the birds became less, so many they had killed. Then the people were not so interested to look for those birds, so they raised the price to 5 rand, to 50 cents, 1 rand, 5 rand, 10 rand. The birds were almost extinct. And now they said, they predicted the next year we're having a bumper crop, because the birds that were eating the crops, they are all finished now, we have killed them. The next year's crops came absolutely a disaster. Nothing whatsoever, completely. So, another again, in the research and investigation in reverse gear again, to go and find out. Now what they found out, that it wasn't the birds, but there was a worm, an insect that was eating the crops, and this bird was actually eating those insects. It was protecting the crops. It wasn't killing the crops, it was protecting the crops. So now they started, anyone who breeds the birds, they were very rare, so they started at 50 rand, 100 rand for one bird if you breed. When they came to a certain extent, 50 rand, 20 rand, 5 rand, 1 rand, a few cents, etc., they brought it down. So this is the case. And this is not a joke, it's a fact. And this is still today. When we were small, and those at that age will know, that aspirin was such a thing, that every grocery shop, somebody has got a few articles on the pavement selling, he's selling aspirin. Aspirin, everyone, headache, aspirin, backache, aspirin, stomachache, aspirin. Everything, just take aspirin. Aspirin is good. Then came the time when the government banned aspirin. Aspirin is very bad for the heart. So then it was banned in our country. In the countries of the world, aspirin was banned. And now again, aspirin is very good for the heart again. Now everywhere, for aspirin you must take. Even if you haven't got a heart problem, you 50, 55, take one aspirin a day. Take one Dispirin a day. Take one Ecotrin a day. It's very good to thin you. So how? This all. This, how can you call that knowledge? Right? One time, these construction workers, They go off in December, they get the 3 weeks leave, and when they are also quite irresponsible like children, never pack their goods, their clothes right, pack it anyway, just kick off the shoes, kick off the clothes, throw it one side, just go like that. So like that they left, and they now bought new clothes, they gone, they got their bonus of the year, and they gone. So one person, his boots, one of the boots was lying somewhere. So somebody saw it, and where they polished their boots or anything, they are construction laborers working in the concrete, in the sand and all that, and they boot the sole on one side, and the tongue of the boot one side, everything, a funny thing. So somebody was wondering, what is this? He couldn't make out what is it. He asked a few friends, nobody could. So they decided the best is take it to the laboratories. Let them investigate and make research on this, that what is this? When they took it to the laboratories, they studied it, everything. They came up with this. This is a bird that was some millions of years ago. And it is now extinct. You don't get it anywhere. So they put the bird now in a showcase in a museum. So this laborer came back after his 3 weeks holiday. He found one boot, the other one he can't find. Looking, he asked, I said, oh, it was your boot. Now just to see it, you have to go to the museum and you must pay so much. Then you can just see your boot also. So this is there. So this knowledge, you can't even call this knowledge. It's tajrubat, experiences. And they change also all the time. Many other such examples. Anyway, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, those people, Allah says that this dunya is a necessity and nobody can deny it. The example of it is like your ship going on the water. The water is absolutely necessary for your ship to travel on. Otherwise, your ship won't be able to travel without the water. But the ship, as long as it is out of the water, then your ship will travel safely. But the minute there is a hole and the water little bit starts coming in the ship, you must know you are doomed now. If not tonight, by tomorrow. Soon you are doomed, finished. So this dunya, as long as it is out of the heart of a mu'min, it is good for him. If he uses it, you keep a 1 million rand check, 10 million rand check, right in your pocket next to your heart. But don't keep 1 cent in your heart. Have all the money in the world. To be maldar is not haram in Sharia. To be dunyadar is haram. And maldar, you can have billions, no problem. But if you are dunyadar, you are a poor person, you only got a little bit, and that is in your heart, then you are doomed. Hadrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to give this example. There was a buzurg who was going on Hajj. He was a wealthy buzurg. And he had a lot of khadims and all. So he stopped at one place. Another buzurg who was also a very wealthy person. So he stayed by him. It was his friend. They were friends. And then the next, so he offered him that we are going for Hajj. Why don't you also go? The first buzurg was not a wealthy person. He was an ordinary poor person. But he was a buzurg. And this other person was a very wealthy person. He was also a buzurg, but his wealth had overshadowed his buzurgi. Nobody looked at him as a buzurg, as a pious person. They looked at him as a dunyadar, having so much of wealth. So this friend of his offered him, we are going for Hajj, why don't you join us? Immediately he got ready. He said, I'm ready. And he joined them. They came to the first station, and that first friend said, look at this friend of mine, so dunyadar. He's got so much of dunya, he's involved in dunya all the time. In his heart he hates this. Allah gave that buzur kash, that this friend of mine thinks of me like this. When they reached the first halting place, that first buzur, who was a poor person, was on the way to Hajj. He told this other buzur, it looks like my lota, the water jug that I use for wuzu, etc., toilet, it looks like I've left it at your house. So he say, "Bas, that is now how much of your buzurgi is. That you just, your heart is in that one water jug of yours. You just told me to leave for Hajj. I left immediately. I left all my things. So dunya you have plenty, no problem. But it must not be one bit in the heart. And you can be a poor person, you haven't even got anything, but that love of those things are in your heart, this is what is forbidden. So to be dunyadar, this is haram. To be maldar, there is no problem. Hazrat Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, how wealthy one day. So no problem if you are wealthy, but you don't be dunyadar. So Allah Ta'ala in any case says that your object is not this dunya's life, The object is the life of the Atharva. And very consciously, daily, let us focus on this. That my object is not this dunya. My object is Atharva. I have to prepare for my Atharva. Dunya is just a passing phase. We need it like the water out of the ship. We have to travel on it. So much it is necessary for us. It must not come into our hearts. It must not come into our, the love of it must not come into us. To understand this, that Allah says, Tilka darul akhirah. That is the house of akhirah. Well, if you just take one little example, just to understand the ayat properly, a mother is preparing her supper, and just before, between Asr and Maghrib, and she ran short of, for example, tomatoes. She sends her 5-6-year-old child to go and buy tomatoes from the corner shop there, which is just nearby. 2-3 minutes walk, and you buy the tomatoes. So they will send the child with whatever, 5 rand or whatever, and 5 minutes, 10-15 minutes, the child hasn't come back. Mother is starting to get worried now. It's already getting Maghrib time, the sun is setting, it's becoming dark. And mother is worried on two counts. One is, she's worried, one, that the children are such, you send them for work and they meet their friends, they start playing, they forget the work that you gave them. The other, she is worried also that today it's so much of kidnappings and all things that happen. Perhaps somebody has kidnapped my child. What has happened to my child? Why is not back? Almost Maghrib time. It's Maghrib time. The mother puts a burqa on and goes and look for the child. Abad, what she finds the child? Playing with other children. So what's her reaction? She gives him one slap. That I told you to go and buy tomatoes. In other words, I didn't tell you to come and play yet. I told you to go and buy tomatoes. She gives him one slap. Just like that, Allah Ta'ala is telling us, Allah send us in this dunya to prepare for akhirat. But we came here and we also got involved in game and play. Whatever type of play, small children, small games, big people, big games. One time Mufti Zainul Abideen Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali, came to the Ijtima here and then he visited us in South Africa. We were at the Jami Masjid, we came out of Zohar Namaz. And there was one senior person of Azad, well, he has passed away now, Allah give him Jannah. He was building some house or whatever it was, and he had the model of it in his car. And he was friends with Mufti Sahab, so he offered Mufti Sahab to go in his car. So Mufti Sahab went, and when he saw that, then Mufti Sahab said, you're so old, you're still playing like with doll houses. And the model of that, what he wants to play. In reality, this is what it is. For us, we made a model of my big new building that I'm putting up. But one time, Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali Kandelvi was giving bayan in Raiv in Ijtima. Colonel Haq Nawaz Sahib, he was from Sargoda, from whom I learned a lot. I stayed quite a bit with him also. He was also, he just came new, he was still general army. He was a general in the army of Pakistan, in the Air Force. So he was sitting right in front. So then, somebody sent a message that you must introduce the speakers. Like all other jalsas, the speaker is introduced. Ijtima, nobody is introduced. Who is this? The talk just starts. So Maulana heard it. He said, I'll introduce myself. So he said, I'm that person that I was born from a Napa clod of blood. Mm-hmm. Seaman. And from there he went on and to explain, who is this insan that he's so proud about? Then Maulana in his talk explained, that until you don't realize that all these tall, tall buildings of Canada and America and Europe and all your flashy motor cars and your big, big houses and bungalows, till it isn't in your heart the yaqeen that these are toys, your iman is at stake and your iman is not yet made. Until that yaqeen comes that these are just like toys. So then he himself says, it came in my heart immediately. What is Maulana talking about? He's a general in the army, and we need our bombers, we need our fighters, we need our jet bombers, we need our tanks and all those things. The next word of Maulana, until you don't realize that your jet bombers and your fighters and your tankers and your guns, these are only toys, your iman is not made. These are what Quran Sharif says, lahwa wa la'ib. These are toys and games only of this dunya. Allah is saying that. And our yaqeen can only be made when we believe in Allah's words. So this is that reality that we realize that these things are only toys and games and just a passing phase. We know how many of us, we were young until today, youngsters, and unfortunately in Ramzan, to pass time. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, you don't pass time. When you want to pass time, you fail time. When you say, I'm passing time, you are failing time. Time is so valuable a commodity and an asset, you can't pass it. If you want to pass it, you're failing. So anyway, we play a game of Monopoly. We all know what is the game of Monopoly. Somebody has got a ship, somebody is traveling in an aeroplane, somebody in a car, somebody in a train, all these things. And then you are buying properties. Somebody is buying lavatories, somebody is buying cheap property, somebody is buying expensive property. Then you are building on your property. Then you got a house, then you got a hotel, then you got a motel. And then you are collecting rentals. And then somebody is paying, somebody is not paying. Somebody is robbing the bank. You play the game for 2-3 hours or something, and the game is over now. And now you start counting up, I got 5 million, other one got 10 million, other one you robbed the bank, other one you did this, you did that. But we all know, what was it? Just a game. And that money, monopoly money, if you got a, what's the biggest denomination, whatever it might be, you can't buy one box of matches with it also. You can't buy anything. Wallah, see for yourself, is this dunya any difference? That here also we're playing a game of monopoly in this world. We are now, somebody is traveling in this kind of car, somebody has got his own private aeroplane, somebody has got a jet, somebody is building up here, somebody is income from there, somebody is robbing somebody there, somebody is borrowing, somebody is not paying. All this is happening. When you die soon, and how soon is it? You'll realize at the time of maut that you live just for a day or part of a day. That's how short my life was. And now you count up, the people will count up. He was worth 5 million. He was worth 2 million. He was worth 10 million. In the qabr, what even billion? You can't buy anything in the qabr in the akhirat. So this is this dunya. That famous story that one king passed away. And he told his son that when I die, and he must put one socks of mine on my leg. When they're giving me ghusl and he was burying me with... So the people who give ghusl, they refuse. They say, you can't. You have to take it off. And he fought with them. He went to the muftis and the maulanas to ask masala. They all said, no, you can't. Then he had given instruction to a friend of his. At that stage, give him this letter of mine. When he gave him that letter, in the letter, his father's letter was written, that my son, see that yeah, you are not even allowed to go with one socks. So all your billions which you have got, what is the worth of it when you can't even take one sock with you? Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, the open deception which is open to everyone in this world of this dunya is that what you worked for, you worked 724, 7 days of the week, 24 hours of the day. You work your fingers to the bone at the time you die when you need it the most. You need the most help at that time. Not one bit of this dunya will come with you. Nothing of it, whatever. Nowhere did Allah Ta'ala tell Jibreel alayhi salam or Malakul Maut that this banda of mine, he had this car, this house, he looked after it so well, he maintained it. There was never a bulb that was fused. There was never a tap that was leaking. Everything he maintained, please send this bungalow with him. Let it go in his qabr. The way he looked after his car, there wasn't a speck of dust anywhere in his car. So let his car also go with him. All this what we work for gets left behind. What is the real object? Tilka darul akhirah. The house of akhirah. Then Allah Ta'ala explains and says, Naj'aluha. We made that house of akhirah. If we want to build our dream house, by the beachfront house, somewhere up in the mountains, high up, wherever, we get master builders. We get our tiles from Italy. We get our carpets from Belgium. We get these things from here. What and what we don't do. But Allah says that house of Akhirah, which I have made, I built it myself. I didn't give the contract to any master builders or anyone. I built it myself. Hey, like somebody said, it's not really true, but somebody said if Allah has to give catering contract to anyone in the world, Allah would give it to the South African woman. But everywhere in the world, mashallah, people, what food they present and how well they cook, everywhere. So that Allah will see to the catering themselves also. And the best of things, Allah says, Nuzulam min ghafuri rahim. Nuzul means when you go and visit somebody and you have just sat down. Now just to cool down, have this syrup here, have this juice here. Afterwards, the meal's going to come afterwards. And then we start also with starters first. And then afterwards, how many course meal? Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says once he was traveling by Emirates, and they brought first the starters. Hazrat thought that's the meal. And he filled his stomach, but the biryani came afterwards. Hazrat says, Zalim, if they told us that this are only starters, now we got no place, now the biryani came. So what Allah is going to give, we cannot imagine. This is the starters, what this dunya's people, what they can't do, what Allah Ta'ala will give. So Allah says, we have made it. Just very, very briefly, what the houses of Akhirah, they will be double stories, they will be high, build up places. There the husband and wife will be on reclining thrones, sitting opposite one another. And those thrones will be studded with pearls and diamonds and rubies and jewels, not of this dunya. This dunya's things are just to give us some idea of what that will be. That's why Allah, one question can arise in the minds of people, that why did Allah Ta'ala make snakes, etc., scorpions? What benefit in them? If there weren't snakes, how should we know what are the snakes in the qabr? This is just to give us an idea. The snakes of the qabr will be worse. But just today we just hear snake, and some of us may be feeling there must be some snake around me here now. And just the thought of a snake, what it does to a person. So the snakes in the qabr, what will it be there like? So even the pearls and rubies and diamonds of this dunya, Allah has made it for one major reason, to take a lesson. The material benefit is afterwards. All what Allah has given us, the main thing is to take a lesson of akhirat. And then secondly, use it also. Allah has given to you, no problem. Within its limits, use it. So it will be studied like that. They will be sitting on those beautiful thrones with the doors and windows, all four sides open. There will be the breeze of Jannat that will be blowing, which is called Muthira. And the effect of it is, they will make the woman more younger, the man more handsome. Yeah, the wind, you want to go to the beach, make sure you got your beach, that cream, for suntan, sunburn. Otherwise you'll get sunburn. When you come back, how will you look? If you didn't put that, and yeah, the wind that blows, etc., weather conditions, how a woman looks, how a man looks in old age. But there, Allah Ta'ala will make it that wind will make them look, will increase their beauty, and the man of Jannat, يدخلون الجنة أهل الجنة أبناء ثلاثين أو ثلاثة وثلاثين. Man will be at the age of 30 or 33. And that will be the age of bulugh, when they have become baligh. And they will remain at that age forever and ever. Yeah, again there is another very important question. It comes in the Hadith Sharif. Man of Jannat will have no hair, no beard. Which our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, don't become an advanced Jannati. In this world, be an ummati. Don't be here without a beard. Advanced Jannati, you became here already. No, here you remain an ummati, have your proper full sunnat beard. In Jannat, there you will become a Jannati and no hair. Now why? And if sunnat is beautiful, and sunnat is beautiful, then beauty, the man of Jannat should have beards. Why won't they have beards? The explanation is also in Hidayah. If you read or study Hidayah properly, Hidayah has got such ulum and such knowledge a person cannot imagine. In Kitabuddiyat, the end says there, that why is this, that the beards won't grow in Jannat? Because in Jannat, that is the age, the greatest vigor, vitality, beauty of a young boy is just before he becomes baligh. That's it. After that, as soon as he becomes baligh, now he's ala madariji zawal. He's going downwards now already. So at that time his beard hasn't come out still. So the people of Jannat at the age of 30, 33, they'll just have become baligh. Their beauty will be at the height, and at that time beard won't come out. Had they grown to age of 40, in Jannat you'll never grow old. Because there is no sun, there is no year, there is no, now it's my birthday this year, and then my birthday next year. There is no birthday there. So you'll never grow older, you're going to remain at that one age. So you won't reach that age where the beard would come out. Had your age increased there in Jannat, had you come to the age of 35, 37, 40, then your beard should have come out. But you won't get to that age where the beard comes. So you'll be at that age of that young boy, and forever you will be. Yeah, a boy becomes baligh round about 15, 14, 15, 16, round about there. But in Jannat, by the age of 30, 33 will be the age of bulugh. So what will be the vitality? When the man will go, there will be no days, but in calculation. Like if you go to the North Pole, doesn't mean you're not going to day 6 months day, 6 months night. No, you're not going to make namaz, only five namazes in 6 months. No, not at all. You calculate the time. According to that, you make your namazes. So in Jannat also, there will be no time as such. But you the calculation, which will be the day of Jumu'ah, and the man will go and meet Allah Ta'ala on that day, and Allah will make tilawat of Qur'an Sharif. When Allah will make tilawat of Qur'an Sharif, and they will see Allah Ta'ala, that will surpass all the ni'mats. All the other ni'mats of Jannat will be kal-adam, like it doesn't exist when they will have that, when they will meet with Allah Ta'ala. And by the recitation of Allah Ta'ala, a vapor will form which will go and condense and become clouds. That will now rain down on the people in that majlis, by which their handsomeness will increase tremendously. When they will return back to their palaces, to their families, and they'll knock on the door and they'll want to enter. When they will open, the man will tell to the woman, "You're not my wife, this is my house. Why? What are you doing here?" She'll say, "I am your wife." And then he'll say, "But you weren't so beautiful when I left. How come you more beautiful?" She'll say, "This wind blowing of Jannat, Muthira, that has increased my beauty." And she will identify him, but she will say, "But you were not, you're not my husband." He'll say, "I am my husband, I am your husband." Then she will say, "But you are not so handsome when you left from here." He'll say, "Why should I not be so handsome? When I saw Allah and that rain came down of the vapor of the tilawat of Allah Ta'ala, and it has increased my handsomeness." This is how they will be forever and ever in Jannah. As Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri says, Rahmatullah Ali, the woman will never have to go to the kitchen to prepare chicken. Whatever you want, and the servants of Jannah. And many, this question was not only in our minds and our women's minds, but even in the minds of the Sahabiyat, that this man, when they're going to get the Hurul Een, yeah, in this dunya they don't look at us, they look at the filth of the street, those painted dollies that are filled with all filth and dirt, they look at them, they don't look at us. In Jannat, when they'll get the pure Hurul Een, where will the man want to look at us there? So Hazrat Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala anhu, with a delegation of women, went to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked that, "Oh Allah's Rasul, what will happen to us? The man will get Hurul Een." Huzur sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam explained, "The women of this dunya, when they will enter Jannat, their beauty will by far surpass the beauty of the woman of Hurul Een. The Hurul Een will be like the servants, maids in Jannat. They will be there just for work. But the beauty, the queen, your wife, she will be so beautiful." Hawra is the most beautiful of the Hurul Een. In Muslim Sharif, a whole detail is given of her beauty, of how beauty she is, how beautiful. But she also will never compare with the woman of this dunya. How beautiful Allah Ta'ala will make them. Then Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha asked, "Wabima ya Rasulullah?" "Oh Allah's Rasul, how is it that our dunya's woman? Yeah, in dunya, they are born of semen, they are born of sand and mud and all this dunya, and they're going to be more beautiful than the Hurul Een who are born there, live there." Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Bi noor ibadatihin, wa bi noor tilawatihin," that all the noor of the ibadat, their tilawat, their zikr, they tolerate the husbands all the time. With all this, their noor will be so much more greater, and they will be so much more beautiful. So that Allah Ta'ala has prepared. As we are reading in short, watan after Zuhar, what Allah has prepared there. So that is the real life. Tilka darul akhirah. Naj'aluha lil-ladhina, for those people. Now this is important for us. Don't let our example be like the father promises the child, "I'll get you an off-road bicycle." What? Quad bike. If you pass your exams. Or matric, "I'll buy you a BM if you pass your exam." Now the child whole year is looking, going around looking at all the BMs, the quad bikes, everything. He's not studying. He fails. He asks the father, where's my quad bike? The father will give him one slap on top. "You fail and you're coming to ask me for your Mercedes, asking me for your BM." So those things Allah has promised. At the moment, our eyes, we just keep it there, that with that we're going to get. But more our eyes must be on what we have to do. And what is it that we have to do? Allah Ta'ala says, this is for those people. In the whole Quran Sharif, and here also very important, don't just take one ayat of the Quran and make a ruling. You have to have knowledge of the whole. There Allah Ta'ala says that the mushriks, the majus, the yahud, the nasara, they will also enter Jannah. But then don't look at just that ayat. Look at the other ayat, those who bring iman from amongst them. Doesn't mean if you are a Christian, you are doomed to the fire of Jahannam. If you bring iman, you'll also go to Jannah. So if you have to look at the whole Quran Sharif, and today the whole world, look at the matter holistically. Don't look at just one part of it. Everything, this is from before already. So anyway, so Allah says, the year Allah mentioned, this is لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ. For those people who haven't even got the irada, who haven't even got the intention, forget the amal. Everything starts first with intention, then the amal comes. Who haven't even got the irada of what? Uluwan fil ard. Yeah, what is that? Highness in this world. Position, name, fame. That is the translation. The tafsir of uluwan fil ard, that those who don't make zulam. Those who don't make zulam on other people. When we think of zulam, we think America is making a lot of zulam. We think governments make zulam. But each one think, how, if I'm not making zulam? On my wife, if I'm letting her be my sales lady also. She's my driver also. She does my deposits also, prepares and does my deposits. She's my tea girl also. She's my housewife also. She's the mother of my children also. She's my cook also. Everything is not the zulm on a woman. That we're a poor woman, how much of zulm on her? Our children, we expect how many suicide cases in matric? We expect such results from them. That is zulm on the children. Giving them education which is harmful for them, we're calling it education. But letting them go to places which are harmful for them is zulm on those children. So think how much zulm aren't we making. Zulm on ourselves. وَلِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقٍ. Today, how late we go and sleep. We're on the internet. We are so late and we force ourselves up. To keep us going, just take two Panados. For a while, it's going to help you. But then when you'll get that knockout, finally, it will give you a terrible knockout. So just to keep us going, just take this, just take that. Worries, can't sleep, tablets, etc. Living on tablets. Oh, this is zulm upon ourselves. Allah never meant that zulm upon us. Allah ad-deenu yusrun. Deen is easy. Deen is enjoyable. Deen is palatable. Come towards deen. Sleep early after Isha. Get up early for your health. How wonderful, isn't it? Take a rest in the afternoon. How beneficial that is for your health. Siesta, qailula, how beneficial it is. So Allah has, so the zulm that we are making. So those who don't even have the intention of such zulm. La yuriduna uluwan fil ard wala fasada. And no fasad. The translation of fasad is also correct here. And we know what is fasad. We use it in Urdu, in Gujarati. People who make fasad, bo fasadi chai, causes a lot of trouble, makes people fight, carries tales from one place to another, makes this one fight, that one fight, starts a fire everywhere. That. And the tafsir of fasada, those who do not commit sin. So that Jannat is there. But see what we have to do to qualify for that Jannat. وَلَا فَسَادَ وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And the best end result is English, to understand it very easily. He who laughs the last, laughs the best. For who will be this? For the muttaqeen. Those who stay away from sin. Those who give up sin, now when you give up sin, people will laugh at you. You don't take out a bond from the bank. You don't want to buy on HP. This, everything is haram for you. You're the biggest mufti. This is not allowed for you. That is not. You want to make an investment? No, I can't make it yet. Everything you got a problem with. You have a problem in our house. You have a problem in the business. Everything you got a problem. They will laugh at you. They will tell you you are backwards. You are fundamentalist. You are, sir. You are all types of things they will say. But who he who laughs the best? One person had kept a beard. He wrote to Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, I've kept a beard. My wife, family are making a joke out of me. They're laughing at me. My friends at work, everyone is laughing at me. What did Maulana reply back? Maulana say, if they want to laugh, that is their problem. But let me tell you, Qiyamat ki roz, tujhe rona nahi parega. You won't have to cry on Qiyamah's day. Hey, that is the main day. So a person whose eyes are there, his whole life will be focused in that. So this dunya, and what is this dunya? Just one or two examples of what this dunya is. Hey, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was going once with his Hawari, his friend, like we are, Huzur sallallahu alayhi wasalam, friends who were called Sahaba. They, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam's companions, the Hawari. They came to a place where they had their snacks, breakfast. There were three rotis. Isa alayhi salam ate one, his friend ate one, and Isa alayhi salam said, the other roti, leave it, later we'll see. And Isa alayhi salam took his rest. When he woke up, that roti was missing. He asked his friend, he said, I don't know. He said, yes, nobody else in the jungle, anyone came? No, nobody came, so who ate it? He said, I don't know. And the man of Allah, they don't make big issues out of these things. We think we fooled them. We just told them a story. And these people, they don't know anything. You can just bluff these people. They, what they know about dunya? So Isa alayhi salam said, all right, we went on. They came to a place in front where they found three bricks of gold. So Isa alayhi salam said, one brick for you, one for me, and one for the one who ate the third roti. Then that person immediately said, yeah, I ate it. Isa alayhi salam said, what? Maali wali dunya, whatever I got, every Nabi, what have they got to do with dunya? You take all three bricks of gold. He went on with his mission. This friend was left behind with three bricks of gold. Two crooks appeared there. And they wanted to kill him and rob him of the three bricks. He was also a crook. They were also crooks. And a crook, why is he called a crook? Because he thinks crooked all the time. That's why he's called a crook. He doesn't think straight. So anyway, he told him that, he said, why you want to kill me? We are three, and we are three bricks of gold. We share and share alike. So they said that, okay, now we all got, we are multimillionaires now, one whole brick of gold. Let us feast now, party now. So they said one must go to the village and go and buy some food and let us party. He was a crook also. So he thought on his way that I'll go and eat myself and I'll buy food for them and poison it. But they were also crooks. They made this plan that when he comes, he's one, we are two. We'll waylay him, ambush him, and we'll kill him. So we'll get the three bricks of gold. And he thought they will die, I'll get all three bricks. So he ate his food, he brought the poison food, they attacked him, they killed him, and they sat and ate the food, they also died. Three bodies lying there, three bricks of gold. Isa alayhi salam passed again. He said, this is what is this dunya. Till today, did anyone's dunya go in the qabr? Multi-millionaires, tycoons are all going, and all are leaving the dunya behind. And where was dunya? Those who were in the 1950s, 1940s, well no, most of the roads were corrugated roads. You go from here to Cape Town, it was corrugated roads. You go, went through the farmer's lands. And those gates, you paid one penny to the little pickaninny there. And he should open the gate for you, you should pass through. Everywhere it was like that. And today, what are those people who looked after the roads in those days? Were they gandas, were they graders there to fix up the roads? If we don't go, how will the people travel? They gone to their qabr, and today what kind of roads are there? The dunya is just on its taraqqi all the time. Progress. And everyone who thought, if I'm not here to run the country, what will happen to this country? All are gone to the qabr and dunya is carrying on. Don't be fooled by this dunya. Dunya is going to carry on all the time. So our object, our purpose in this life is not this life. This is a zarurat, a necessity. And zarurat comes from the word zarar in Arabic. And zarar means harm. That means if you don't do that, you will be harmed. Like if any one of us needs to go to the toilet now, and if he doesn't go, he's going to harm his health, he'll dirty his trouser, he'll dirty the masjid. So it's a zarurat. And the other rule of zarurat is, az-zaruratu yuqaddaru biqadri zarura. How much that zarurat is necessary, only so much you engage in it. If we go to the toilet now, in the West, they call the toilets restrooms. If a person takes the literal meaning, that there is a place to go and rest there. You don't go and rest there, there are couches and you expect and you go and rest. No, they just call it restroom. It's a place, just how much is necessary stay there. Some people keep newspapers, magazines in their toilets. Some smoke there in the toilet, spend an hour in the toilet. How long? That is total. So like that in dunya also we are here. Just engage in dunya, how much is zarurat? Come back to deen. Our object is Deen all the time. Our object is Akhirat. Engage in Akhirat all the time. In dunya, engage just how much is necessary. Minute it is fulfilled, come out of it again. Don't stay in the toilet. In Deoband, one time there was a discussion that we must introduce secular education in Darul Uloom Deoband as well. The principal of the Darul Uloom at that time, what an answer he gave. He says, for that there are enough toilets, I don't have to build more toilets in my Darul Uloom for that. What he meant, it's a necessity for dunya's sake. And there are enough schools and colleges and universities in the world. I don't have to put it here in my Darul Uloom, those toilets, there is a necessity. So you just go and do it. Deeni knowledge is a maqsood. And the maqsood is also le maqsad akhar, for another maqsad which is more greater. But deeni knowledge is maqsood. Dunya's knowledge, what we call knowledge, is just a zarurat. It is just a necessity, how much you need it. So don't want, and because حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا رَأْسُ كُلُّ خَطِيئَةً. The love of this dunya is the seed and of all other evils. So this is one common disease that we have got today commonly. And as I said, good people, learned people, we are promoting the love of this dunya. If you want dunya, you need the knowledge of dunya. If you want akhirat, you need knowledge of akhirat. What you need, you must see what you where in which direction. And dunya's knowledge, we are not denying, but it is as a zarurat, and to the extent of a zarurat, a necessity. It is not a maqsad. So each one of us, wherever we are workers, work, but whatever time we got, give it to deen, give it to akhirat. And that is by niyat. You are sitting with your family, make your niyat correct. You are working 8 hours, make your niyat, and you can make all that into deen also. But our object is deen, our object is not this dunya. When we have forgotten that, we have made our houses show houses, showcases, show houses. When somebody is selling a house, how it is made up, our houses. Because of that, children are not allowed yet. They have got stricter rules. They got one playing room separately. They're not allowed to play anywhere. Whereas Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, let the children jump and play. That develops a child. But today you want the child, somebody told he's going to bring his children to Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi. Hazrat said, by all means bring them. When he brought them, 1-2 hours they were sitting. Hazrat said, where are your children? You said you're going to bring your children. He said, they are here. He said, this appears to be like your bawas, your grandfathers. These are not children. Children are such, they'll come here, pick up my topi, throw it this side, they'll run this side, they'll do that. Those are children. He trained them in such a way they must just sit one place. Today we've made our children like robots, like machines. They are not allowed their freedom. No, at all. Whereas a child is, this is, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, till the age of 7 is the time for a child to play. But how, now, we were in Malawi the first time I saw it. That Montessori from the age of 0. That means the child is just born, hand him over to them now. They will now brainwash him. And they will do what they want to with him. And now it's common everywhere. From 0 to 1 year, there are schools for them. Before there were nothing like nursery, said that. You just went to school, grade 1. Then came nursery, then came Montessori, then came kindergarten. Now right from the age of 0 already, they want the children. So the brainwashing of the children. So if you our niyat is akhirat, we will see to deeni knowledge, to the development of iman, akhlaq, amal. And if our niyat is dunya, then we will go in that direction. And Allah Ta'ala said clearly, فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ دَارُنَا. We made him sink until today Qarun is sinking with his wealth. If we want to go in that line, it is our choice now. And if we want to go in the line of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the line of the Salaha and Awliya, that is a different line. Let us see which line we want to choose. So this is a terrible disease, the love of this dunya. And today, what it is also, everyone, main tumhe haji sahab kahu, tum mujhe mali sahab kahu. I cover up your faults, you cover up my faults. Don't tell anyone that what you are doing is wrong. Each day we all will be meeting. Don't touch on those touchy subjects. Keep them away. Don't speak about those subjects. Just what is the easiest? Talk about the Jews, common platform. Jews are very bad, and all are agreed on the whole subject. Bush is very bad, Blair is very bad, this is happening and that, very good. But on the touchy subjects, don't touch them. Otherwise you fight on each day. Hey, this is, I tell you I'm Mali Sahab, you tell me Haji Sahab, and we are friends. I don't take out your faults, you don't take out my faults. True friendship is what you see wrong in your friend, in your brother, tell him this what you are doing is wrong. There is a way to say it, and there is a time to say it, but say it in a correct way. But today it is that we all just keep friends, just all the arguments under the carpet. We got no fight with no one, everything under the carpet. And in the heart, when we meet also, Allahu Akbar, how many of us, when you meet, oh, Malana, and you're beating and you're pressing one another, but daggers in the heart. Hey, dirt and filth in the heart, and hypocrisy to what level? All this is hubbe dunya. Today we have become like hypocrites the way we meet one another. Inside we have got dirt and filth filled up for one another. So this is one of the most terrible, basic, fundamental sins. Love of this dunya and love of wealth. May Allah protect us. And from here we have to make tawbah. How many of us? All of us are guilty of it. You don't have to be a multimillionaire to have love of dunya. You're a poor person, you love your dunya. And to be dunyadar is haram. To be maldar, no problem. But don't, if Allah has given you wealth, no problem. But don't have the love of that wealth. Don't go and crave after it. And Allah Ta'ala has explained that this dunya is such a thing that if you want it and you make effort, Allah allows you go and it will destroy you. You'll put up buildings, you'll get tenants, and there'll be a biggest headache for you. They will take you to court. They won't pay your rental. They will take your doors down and burn them for firewood. And then they won't pay you your rental. There'll be a big headache. But when Allah wants to give you, Allah will throw it at your feet. You won't even have to work, and Allah will make your rosy. What is that? Allah will throw it at your feet. So we make our niyat akhirat. Dunya is a shadow of akhirat. If you get the real thing, the shadow comes with. And if you work for a shadow is nothing. Your whole life you work for a shadow, you'll get nothing. May Allah give me and us all proper understanding. And this one thing, ponder about it. And if we talk with one another, discuss this thing, that this dunya, what is it? Why are we giving our lives for this dunya? Make effort for the akhirat. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillah.